The first lesson for today is from the second chapter of Hebrews. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who in all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he was able to help those who are being tested. The second lesson for today is from the second chapter of Matthew. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, Out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled, for they were no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He was called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Throughout our church year, we cover in great detail the who, when, and where of Jesus' life on earth. Last week and through Advent, we focused particularly on the how Jesus came to be with us. Our readings today lean into the why and what. For me, there is definitely a measure of wondering why. I certainly believe John 3:16, for God so loved the world that God sent God's only Son. But for me, like I suspect others, the hardships and horribleness in humanity come rapidly to mind, especially following a year when people in general have focused on the negative in others at the expense of the positive. Why wouldn't it be difficult to understand why God would want to join us? I recently watched a brief video of a project which had Asian American parents and children, grown children, standing in silence, looking at each other for 4 minutes. At the end, most people were in tears, parents and children alike. I love yous were exchanged. Parents spoke of remembering back to when their children were born and of how they want the best for their children. And children spoke of how parents sacrificed so much for them. In their experiences, I think I saw an answer to my why. God doesn't look at us like we look at one another, at strangers, acquaintances, even at friends and family sometimes. God looks deeply and sees clearly the beauty and the possibility and the wonder. God doesn't need 4 minutes of silence to notice again these things in us, to marvel at the joy we have brought by merely being, to celebrate the possibilities which are inherent by our very being, to see clearly the wonder of all that has been knit together to make us who we are, flesh, bone, sinew, hopes, experiences, even hurts. And God gladly enters into the same form, knowing that God in flesh also elicits joy and bursts with possibility and embodies wonderfulness. So this too is why God sent God's only Son. A theologian explains that God became incarnate in Jesus, became human like us, not that suffering would be removed from us, but that suffering could be embraced head-on, fully embraced by Christ. Jesus fulfills his role as our Savior and Redeemer by suffering completely, even to the point of death. This is how he becomes the pioneer going ahead of us and clearing the way. In other words, theologian Marcus Dodds describes Jesus as the strong swimmer who carries the rope ashore, and so not only secures his own position, but makes rescue for all who will follow. These are some of the whys a baby was born among the animals 2,000 years ago. The whole of our lives of faith are studies in what it means that this happened, that God became a tangible form in God with us. But today, I'll offer just a little something which might serve as reinforcement of your understanding, what you have already learned about you and God, or what might be a new addition to your understanding, perhaps a different perspective. Another theologian wrote what I needed to read as reinforcement, saying, God has become a human being, which means that in a strange and wonderful and unprecedented way, God is with us. I already got the wonderful and unprecedented, but somehow the strange had missed me. Sundays like today, I will say, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. But I have rarely, if ever, stopped to think that for them, they sat across from God, actual God. And God, whose name was too sacred to speak, was handing them a piece of bread and washing their feet. God in this form looked like any other human form, had the features which help us identify one another as human, maybe even to the point of being considered nondescript. I think this possibility is reinforced by Herod's command that all male children under 2 be killed. God in Jesus wasn't obvious. We humans have faces and limbs and hearts and livers and lungs. We humans, all of us, want to be in relationship with others, want to get along, want to know love, want to have shelter, want to have food. What it means that God became incarnate is that God washed his face. God hugged people he loved. God slept and dreamed. What it means is that God's humanity, God's willingness, or even God's determination to come to us in human form demands we look at one another in our shared humanness. If God has such high esteem for us, sees such worth in us, then that is also part of our calling as Christians to do the same. Part of that beauty and possibility God sees within us is the capability to expand ourselves to look for the beauty and possibility and wonder in others. This is as good a year as any to see the world and be in the world with beauty, possibility, and wonder, don't you think? Let us pray. God, for showing us the way we can be the beauty of creation, we give thanks. We pray you keep us mindful of this and push us to see this beauty in your children. Amen.